Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, and reading today from A Greater Than Solomon, a story or a look at the practices today of Christian parents and Christian homes that have lots of children in them, and wondering if Solomon is indeed the one we're supposed to be following. Now, Solomon was a man filled with the Holy Spirit and a lot of wisdom, as was Moses, but we don't follow Moses so much, do we? Not everything that he said for sure. Let's come into the New Testament. I've spent the last couple of audios talking about Solomon's words, and they are good words. We do not ever come against words from God. But we question whether Solomon was to be our source today for disciplining of children. I think there's some good things in there and some things that might not be good for God's Holy Spirit-filled people. As you come into the New Testament, there's quite a bit of silence from Jesus and the apostles about Solomon's ways in terms of children. Walking through Proverbs was difficult. We do see in Proverbs, as in Moses, what natural man deserves. We're not saying that children don't deserve in the natural to be beaten up, you know, and you too, adults. We see what parents who walk in the natural have to do to get the desired results. I think the stuff that Solomon talked about would be great in the public schools, great in the government, perhaps. But none of these methods of Solomon are mentioned in the New Testament. We do run into a rod in the New Testament, for sure. We do run into discipline in the New Testament, don't get me wrong here, and painful sometime. But there's a different flavor to it, and I think we need to see how Jesus looked at these things and then the apostles, how they looked at it, so that we can have the full picture. And you don't get this too much when you're reading how-to books these days. You read a lot about Solomon. Let's talk about the greater than Solomon. God said, "This is my beloved son, hear him." That's in Mark 9:7. And in Matthew 12:42, he talked about a greater than Solomon. You know, context is everything. The Pharisees wanted a sign from Jesus. "No," says Jesus, "you got your sign from Jonah." By the way, they repented, Jesus said, when Jonah preached. You're not repenting, even though a greater than Jonah is here. And then he said, and don't forget the Queen of Sheba. She listened to Solomon's wisdom, and she was impressed with it. "But I'm greater than Solomon." Ah, Jesus just came out and said it. "I'm greater than Solomon." Do we hear that? Do we hear it today? Wisdom. The context was wisdom. Oh, Solomon was wise. Wisest man, wisest king Israel ever had. He received his wisdom from God. But Jesus said, "My wisdom is greater because I'm greater." Oh, Solomon was right for his time. And if that's all you got, yeah, it works to a degree, but it's not foolproof. Anyone who says it is just needs to look at some statistics. It doesn't always work, folks. He spoke truth from heaven, Solomon did, but so did Moses, so did Elijah, so did David. All these men spoke truths that were superseded by the truth that is in Jesus and that is Jesus. Look at his life, Jesus, and listen to his words. If you would know of the wisdom that is greater than Solomon's. Proverbs is still in the Bible, but so is Exodus. The unapproachable God, that's in the Old Testament, but we approach him all the time. The laws about animal sacrifices, they're all there, but we don't do that. Capital punishment of all offenders, it's in there, folks, but we don't do that. In fact, capital punishment came into the family. You could go out and stone your child or have the elders do it if he was giving you too much trouble. Now, we're talking about a grown son here. Circumcision is in the Bible. It's all over the Bible, but we don't do that. Proverbs is still in the Bible, but so is Psalms. You ever heard David's invectives against his enemies? They were his enemies because they were God's enemies, and that is God's word, and he spoke truth. Canaanites were to be destroyed, annihilated. Is that Jesus' word to you, to me? Aren't we called today in this new covenant simply to love our enemies and strive to bring them to Christ? Isn't that something different? Got so many nationalists among us. I know I'm a Republican. All right, let's just go out and say it. I like those kind of teachings that are out there from the Republicans, but that's not Bible. That's national stuff. And it's controversial, and we are different, folks. We're not Republicans or Democrats, nationalists or internationalists. We are Jesus. Whatever Jesus demands in a moment, that's what we do. Proverbs is still there with King Solomon's wisdom, but so is the prophet Elijah with the Holy Spirit's power. Fire from heaven, kill them all. Yeah, that's what they did. The disciples of Jesus wanted to do the same thing. Jesus said, no, it's the wrong spirit. You don't get it yet. Things are changing. Just pay attention here. The great patient teacher, Jesus, still patiently trying to teach us too. The Holy Spirit gave Moses and David and Elijah their cues. They did what they were told, and God blessed them for it. If we try to do today what those men did, we will not be blessed for it. It's the wrong spirit. You've got to have the Holy Spirit if you want a Holy Spirit family. Jesus wasn't calling his disciples demon-possessed. He was just saying, you can no longer act as, when he said that they had the wrong spirit, he was saying, you can't act like God's men used to act by that same spirit. If you do, you'll just be using your own spirit. God's, you know, this can happen even in New Testament. We look at the book of Acts and see what people did there, and we try to do what they did, and it's not working. I got a lot of people I hear, they say it's working, and sometimes miracles happen, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of stuff going on of just copycat stuff. Don't copycat the Bible. The only copycat stuff you're supposed to do is seeking the Lord with all your heart and letting him come in and do his personal thing in you personally. You are different than anybody who ever lived in God's kingdom. You're not going to be like anyone else. So don't copy it. You can copy their faith and copy their love. Copy their determination to know God's will, but don't copy their stuff. It's not the same. Jesus announced a new covenant. And you know, for us, it's new every day. It's a new agenda. It's life in the Spirit. You listen carefully to Jesus. He's the greater than Solomon. Would you look over at Matthew 18, verses 2 through 14? I'm going to summarize it, just talk about it. A little child, but you need to have your Bible open to be sure I'm telling you the truth. A child is called front and center. You remember the story. This child, Jesus seems to be saying, is the new model for my kingdom. Humble yourself like this child. Be low in your own estimation like a child. The lowly and the weak are now the great ones. It's not about power plays in the home, folks. Not anymore. Maybe it was. It's not now. Much more. If you receive a child like this in my name, you're receiving me. What could that possibly mean? He goes on to say the opposite. If by your actions you cause one of these little ones to sin, it'd be better if you were drowned. My. Subject hasn't changed here. He's still talking about little children. Look at the context. He's talking about that little child who's standing there in front of them. He's right in the middle of the group, a kid. And Jesus is talking about abuse here. If your actions would cause a child to sin, that's called child abuse. Jesus knew this was going to happen. And it's in this child context that he gives that extreme recommendation of getting rid of your hand or your foot or your eye if that hand or foot or eye would cause you to sin. Not just physical abuse, we're talking sexual abuse here too. And it happens in these homes, and it happens in Christian homes. Yes, it does. I'm sorry, but it does. So-called Christian homes. Verse 10, in this context, Matthew 18:10, confirms that children and the abuse of children is the continued context of this passage. We used to spiritualize this and say, well, this is talking about kids in the Lord, spiritual children. No, this is talking about a child that's standing right there. He said, take heed that you don't despise one of these little ones. Mark adds, that believe in me. Children in your home that are coming to the Lord, don't despise their size. Don't despise their vulnerability. Don't despise their ignorance. Take advantage of them. Don't do it. You're bigger than they are. Don't do this, well, they'll get over it mentality. They may not, folks. They may not. Now, I'm putting a lot of judgment on people. You know, one little tear of repentance can take all this away. If you've got this on you, if I'm putting heavy, heavy stuff on you because you've already messed up, God can forgive all of that. Just go to Him. But don't live with this kind of thing in your life that because you're bigger than that child, you can overpower it any time you want. It's got to listen to you. That's not the Holy Spirit. That's a different spirit. That may be the Old Testament spirit. Maybe even the world's spirit. Folks, they don't get over it. I know of some people living in the world right now. I'm in touch with them. Scores of them who haven't gotten over it because they came out of a situation like that. A Christian home. They thought they were safe. The parents thought the children were safe. The children didn't know what they were getting into. These were teenagers. The parents thought everything was cruel because it said Christian on the door. Oh my, check it out before you make a move like that. Jesus makes it plain that the very angels of God are watching every move. Amazingly enough, even though Jesus next goes into his famous passage about the 90 and 9 sheep and the one lost sheep, he comes back immediately to children. Even so, he says, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that even one of these little ones should perish. God wants people to be saved, even little people. The smallest of all, the young child who comes to Jesus must be welcomed in, even as he says in the very next chapter. Mark 9, verses 36 to 42, relates these same truths and places the offenders in the context of eternal hell fire. It's a serious offense to come against a little one. Matthew 19:14. Parents, they'd been listening to Jesus' gracious words, and they saw, they could just see, hey, Jesus is all for the children. He loves the children. So they brought their children to him for blessings. The disciples did not like this at all. They hadn't been listening to his recent warnings. They were still under that old covenant legalism, and they tried to stop the parents from bringing their children to Jesus. But Jesus said, don't do that. Let these little children come to me. See, it's all the same context. It's all about children. Now, that's Old English. Old English, excuse me, suffer little children. You would think that some homes today take that old word suffer to be literally like the word of today. No, of course not. The word only means allow. There's one of the King James things we have to overcome. But it's the Greek word just means allow. Just let them come. Don't make them suffer. Don't do anything to keep a child from coming to Jesus. Again, we're not talking about a pain-free existence. We're talking about a loving invitation for children to meet Jesus. And if that doesn't work right away, being Jesus to the child. allowing them to come to you. I don't picture Jesus in this context holding a rod in his hand saying, "Hey, come here, kid. Come here, child." Who's going to respond to an invitation like that? Who's going to get near a man like that? Unless forced to, of course. By the way, Jesus did take these children into his arms. He blessed them. He's our example. He's the power we need to live like this. Now, the last time we see children in Matthew, they're crying out in the temple as the Messiah passes by. They're saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Is Jesus' view of children the same as that of the modern cult of baby breaking? What? I'm quoting from a tract that's written by one of these gurus on how to raise kids today. It says, and I'm quoting, "A child very quickly demonstrates his fallen, depraved nature and reveals himself to be a selfish little beast." In Christian thought, and that was not a Christian thought I just read, I understand we are born in sin. I understand that. Mama, are you listening to me? Look at your little baby now. Is that a little beast you're looking at? Don't you just want to beat him to death? Oh my God, help us. Oh my God, help us. In Christian thought, to welcome a child is to welcome Christ himself. It's an awesome thought. It's not Solomon I just gave you. Solomon never heard of anything like that. That's the greater than Solomon. Would you look at John chapter 8 for a minute before we go? There was a woman caught in adultery who was set in the very midst of a group of people and right in front of Jesus. You remember that story too. "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery. She should be stoned. What do you say?" "Well, yeah, I agree with you. Let's stone her. Let's start. Whoever never sinned, you pick up that first stone, and then we'll just go right down the line here, and you can all stone her to death. Fine." But nobody picked up a stone. "Woman, nobody condemned you?" "No, no one, Lord." "Well, I don't condemn you either." That's Jesus. "Go and sin no more." The Pharisees were right, you know. Moses was right. These kind of people they're lost. They're condemned. Moses was right to condemn them. It's an awful sin. But we've got a greater than Moses on the scene. Jesus was against God's law? Not at all. But he was for God's people. Jesus was right also, because Jesus is God. And if Jesus wants to forgive, he can forgive. And he does want to forgive those who see themselves as they ought to see themselves. That's the ticket. Forgiveness, grace, mercy, mixed in with your loving discipline. We're not taking away discipline here. Changing the emphasis. Yeah, even painful discipline. But not brutality, as I've heard about. And from time to time, not every day, if this Jesus brand of mercy is not in what you do, you're judging yourself, said Jesus, Matthew 7:1. I want to make an appeal for investigation, repentance, stepping down for some, starting over, in Christian ministry homes across the nation, and in families. Jesus is merciful. He'll forgive the most heinous of sins and sinners if they just confess their sin. No one wants to bring about the conditions of this awful word of Christ. It could be tragedy. There's more from Jesus and Paul. about how to raise your children, how to love your children. Yeah, we'll talk about more of that another time. It's late. Let's move on. Thank you for being with me today. Welcome here. We've got the works of several great men of God on this site. We've got their stories, their words. We've got North Korea audios by the hundreds. Seriously, check those out, will you? Will you read my teaching about the Quran? Against the Quran, let's be clear. Against Muhammad, against other false religions, you'll see in the tag. Go to, just click on the word series and you'll see a whole bunch of things that have been done through the years. And books, just click on store and you'll see some books. I'm not a salesman, but if you'd like to see some of this in writing, it's all out there. And I've got a new website now. It's called FaulknerTales.com. Would you do me the favor, you who have been with me for a while, of just going over there, seeing what you can find. And I'm telling stories that I can't tell on sermon audio. They're not bad. They're just not sermons, you know. This is sermon audio. So go over there and see what I've done and what I'm doing, and give me a tweak of it if you need to every once in a while. There's something new just about every day on that site. We're up to the 21st of February. There's just under 30, I believe, audios that have been put there. I want that to grow by God's grace. Anyway, this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we get to talk again real soon. Bye-bye.